Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, it is really, really great to be with you on this Saturday. This is a Saturday, yeah. I mean, once you podcast the show, you download it, it might be on a different day. But believe me, you know, this is a great Saturday, and I understand if people are not listening to the show, but you can always podcast it. Saturdays are times with your family. I mean, you're having fun. You're having a great time with your family, going out, doing this and doing that. You don't have time to sit down and listen to an internet radio show. But, hey, once you get done doing those things, you know, podcast the show, download the show. I'm on iTunes. I'm on Google. I'm on Facebook. I'm all over the place. You can always find me. I'm not hard to find. I try not to make myself hard to find because I want to be as accessible to you, my fans, as possible. Because it's all about you. It's all about what's going on. All right, let's move right along. But first, let me do this. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is 6:03 straight up Chicago time. Let me change this because I'm on Wi-Fi. I'm going to change it to the hard line because I don't trust Wi-Fi. Okay, we're on the hard line now, so everything is safe and secure, hopefully. Okay, moving along. The title of the show is How to Be a Great Dad, and I think that's one of the ways that we may go into solving some of the horrific crimes in some of these communities. Being a great dad, being a great parent in general. You don't have to be a great dad, but be a great parent. Be a great mother, you know. Raise your children, you know. I mean, you have to raise children. I mean, if you don't raise children, you know, they're going to resent you. Some kids are going to grow up to resent you. Well, dad wasn't there. You know, he was never there. And so I'm not going to speak to dad. I'm not going to talk to dad. But you know what? That's not always the correct thing to do, you know. But anyway, I'm going to – the story is about how to be a great dad. And basically the topic is put everything you can into being a great parent. Put everything you in that you know how to be a super parent. Being a great parent does not mean that you hit your child. Or you abuse your child. That's not being a great parent. You know, that is going to cause a lot of resentment towards you if you do something like that. Beating a child, misusing a child, abusing a child, hating a child is not the way to go. Parents, don't do that. You love your children. You love your child. Because kids, they do respond to love. And there are people out there saying, George, what do you know about this? What do you know about it? Just listen to the show and you'll find what I know about it and what I do not know about it. My number is 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 605 straight up Chicago. You know, we were outside earlier and it is cold. I mean, I think if I can diverse a little bit, it is cold. I mean, we were out there, we were freezing, you know. I mean, God, the wind, and now I know why. Every time the wind blows like this, I always remind myself that this is the Windy City. You know, this is the Windy City. And, you know, it's a little bit cold for fall. It feels more like, you know, a mild winter day. That's what it feels like. It feels like winter. Everybody's wearing coats. And summer is just, you know, it just ended. And it feels really raw. It really does. So I wanted to kind of get that out of the way because, you know, I'm in my studio office and I'm trying to feel for the heat. You know, say, where is the heat? You know, in most places, the heat is not on yet because some people still thinking it's kind of summer weather. In some places, it is. I hope it's nice where you are, you know. So I just wanted, it was just something about being cold that I just had to mention, you know. So I hope you're not freezing like I am. But we're going to find some heat later on after I get off the show. We're going to dig for it, believe me. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we're talking about how to be a great parent. How to be a great parent. And one of the reasons why I actually chose this particular topic of the show, I wanted to kind of lighten the topic up for the show because in the last few days I've been talking about, you know, gun violence, how we can rectify that. I'm going to still talk about it in a later segment on into the show today because I can't really get off of it because that's what's dominating the news. It's what's dominating Congress. It's what's dominating the city of Chicago is violence. So we have to kind of, you know, stay on it until something happens, something positive happens at trying to eradicate some of this violence that's going on all over the damn United States. So I chose this topic to kind of show a lighter side of some of the things that I've been talking about because I've been really ranting. If you listen to some of the shows, some of the podcasts, the earlier ones, the ones that two or three shows back, I've been really ranting about violence. I've been really ranting about the shutdown in the state of Illinois, which is going on, and this guy is just, it seems like every day Bruce Rauner just gets crazier. So I have to talk about that. And you know what? I'm just so sick of talking about stuff. I want to put some action behind my words, but I can't get out there by myself I can't do it alone. I need your help, especially Illinoisans. We are, you know, I mean, when you're in a, when you have the numbers, you have power. If you have no numbers, you have no power. They won't listen to you if you don't have any numbers. That's obvious. You know, that's obvious. So I chose the title, if I can get back to this, if I chose the title to kind of lighten the mood of the show, kind of. Maybe I should have stated it that way, to lighten the mood. Because I have been ranting, yelling, and screaming. And if you heard that, well, he's just passionate. Yeah, I'm passionate, and I'm angry. I'm very, very angry, you know, about the situation that's going on. And my understanding now that in Congress, they don't know what to do about gun violence. Some of them are for it. Some of them are against it. Some of them are, you know, just do not give it, do not care. But you know what? Like, and I've also been talking about voting. So, you know, a lot of these guys who aren't on board with gun control, universal background checks, we should vote their asses out. Because that's basically what we're talking about, universal background checks, keeping the guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. You know, so they, I mean, most of these politicians in Congress are bought off by the NRA. The NRA, you know, it's a powerful lobbyist group, gun lobby. It's more like these guys are working for the NRA than they are for the people who put their asses in office. This is the kind of talk that I've been doing, and I'm trying to make it a little lighter because I can't help it. You know, this is just staring you in the face. You have to talk about it. You have to talk about it. You really do. So let me get to how to be a great parent and stay on that topic and not, you know, wither away because I can easily go off topic so quick and so fast, it could turn your head. And that's just my passion showing. That's all that is. That's my passion showing. Okay, let's get back. How to be a great dad. And I'm also incorporating that to mean stopping and slowing down some of the violence. Because if you have a great dad, a real great dad, your kid is not going to go out and grab a gun and shoot another kid. You know, I think that a lot of these kids out here come from bad parenting, bad parents. You know, and a lot of bad parents, they don't want to acknowledge that they're bad parents. You call them a bad parent, they're ready to shoot you. You know, even though they are bad parents. You know, I mean, anytime you see a young mother walking down the street and her toddler has his pants below his butt like his father, that's bad parenting. The kid is headed in the wrong direction with the mother's admiration. You know, and I've seen mothers in the playground. I mean, when I was taking my son to school, he was in third or fourth grade. I would take him to school every morning, and I would see young mothers with their kids in the playground, and their children were bullying some of the other children. And the mothers would just stand there and let the child be a bully. Now, that's bad parenting. You know, that's bad parenting. You know, so, and that's one of the reasons why I took my kid out of that school. Because, you know, a lot of the parents didn't give a damn about their kids being bullies. You know, so, they didn't want to hear about it. I mean, if one of their kids was just smashing in some other kid's face, they didn't see it. You know, so bad parenting is everywhere. And a bad parenting can be a cause of a lot of things. Black on black crime, bad parenting, you know, and it's just something. But I'm talking about being a great dad. Maybe in another show later on, I can talk about being a good mother. But it's just some things you just have to get off your chest. And I've experienced a lot of bad parenting. I mean, I even wrote a book about it called They Are Our Children. And I put a lot of my experiences in there as a parent and as a parent who have observed a lot of bad parenting. I knew women who were bad parents to their own children. And that's why I say a lot of them get pissed off if you say that you're a bad parent or you make any kind of reference around them as being bad parents, you know, because they've heard it before. They're just denying it, okay? But once their child is behind bars in jail, you know, I guess reality will slap them in the face then, you know. So, but how to be a great dad. One of the things you want to do, let's get right into it. One of the things you want to do, you want to show your children that you cherish them. Show them that you care. Show them that you love them. And one thing that will amaze you, any parents, is how fast the years go by. Kids grow up so fast. And they are expensive. Believe me, you got to spend a lot of money. And if you're broke, you're going to be in trouble. But show them that you love them. Show them that you care. And you will get, you do that to a child. And you're responsive. You're smart. You're intelligent. You are educated. That child will respond to you positively just because you are a positive parent and that you care. Kids know when you care about them. Kids know when you do not care about them. You know, kids respond tremendously when they know that you care about them. If they think you don't care, they're going to fail in school. If they think you don't care, they're going to go out and stay out all night long and do everything they want to do. They think that you do not care, they're going to push their homework aside because there's nobody there encouraging them to do their homework. Spend as much time as you can with your child. Make it quality time. Make it loving time. Try to be present as much as possible while you are with them. Don't let your mind drift away from your kid. They can sense that. They can sense you not wanting to be with them. They can sense that you may just be there just to be there because you have to be there. Do not be with your kids because you have to be with your kids. Be with your kids because you want to be with your children. Easier. Others may differ from different kinds of experiences, but I've always found that the first couple of months are the most difficult when the baby is brand new and wants to be fed at all the time hours of the night. And you often have sleepless night and walk around all day like zombies because the baby loves your baby. I mean, when a baby is crying, that's just a sign of life. You know, just a sign of life. It doesn't always mean that to feed the baby, to stick a bottle in the baby's mouth. It's a sign of life, you know, and it's beautiful. It's great. It's wonderful. The first couple of years are just also a lot of time demanding, first later, and then they hit the middle school. They become almost functioning, independent adults, and it gets easier, trust me. Trust me, this thing gets easier. All right, love conquers all. That may sound a little corny, but it should be at the center of your dad operating philosophy above. Show your children love. That's like I said before. When you're upset, instead of yelling, show them love. When you are upset, show them love. When they least expect it, show them love. Everything else just details. Show them love. Show them that you care. Show them that you are there for them. And you will be surprised the return on that they will give you, a positive return, good grades, a wonderful child. But you have to show them that you love them, or they're going to go astray if they think that you do not love them. Kids like making decisions. But it's easier to be an authoritarian parent. What you've teaching your child is to submit to orders no matter what. You don't want to be the, if I can say it, I can't even say the word. But you don't want to be giving orders to your child a lot. You know, you want to do this, do that, do this, do that, do that, do this. Some will rebel because of that. Rebel. Your job is to allow them to make decisions, but within the parameters that you set. Give them a choice between two healthy breakfasts, for example, rather than allowing them to eat a bowl of sugar if they choose to. Okay? All right, this is the George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. We're talking about how to be a great parent. As small children, read to them often, okay? I mean, if you read to kids, they're going to grow up and read for themselves, and you don't have to tell them to read. They're going to automatically read because they love the stories that are in books, like the rest of us. Don't be an absent dad. The biggest mistake that dads make all over the world and everywhere are they're not there for their children, especially when children. Most children, they need their dad more so than their mother because, you know, when both parents are there, the kid has two perspectives that he can choose from or that he can, you know, he has a choice. He gets something, he or she gets something different from dad, he or she gets something different from the mother, and it kind of brings everything together and makes it whole. So dads, be there for your children. Be there. Don't be an absent dad. And that's a lot what's going on in some of these crime-ridden areas, some of these neighborhoods. Absent dads, or dads are in gangs. You know, you know, if the dad is in gangs, more likely the child is going to grow up to be in a gang. If the dad is carrying a gun, more likely the child is going to grow up to carry a gun. If the dad is in jail, the more likely the child is going to grow up to be jailed. And this is reality. It happens. You have 2 and 3 and 4 generations of gangbangers out here of dads, you know, bad parenting. And I can sit here and talk all day about bad parenting, and it's still going to go on. Just like I can sit here and talk all day or all night about stopping the violence, and it's going to go on. You know, so we want to be good parents to our children, okay? And I personally, I don't think there is a child in the world that cannot learn. I really don't. I think every child can learn. I mean, we've got all of these IEPs, all this special education in classroom. I think every child can learn. I don't think there's no bad child unless that child is just out there. If a child has no education, if a child has no no education, no real parenting, nobody cares, the child winds up homeless on the street or whatever, that's not good. That's not being a good dad. That's not being a good parent. Because a lot of the parents are awful themselves. Some of the parents are locked up in jail. Some of the parents are just not there for their children. And what do you think is going to happen? That child is going to go find a bunch of people, bad people, that's going to accept that child because the parent refused to accept the child. So they're going to probably find a gang or something that's going to say, hey, come on in here, take this gun, and go shoot somebody. You know, because the gang is going to care about that child more than the parents did because the parents are on dope somewhere, laid up drunk, and really don't even care anything about the child. But once the child gets in trouble, they're down there crying their asses off, saying he's a good child. Then where were you? That's why a lot of these cities around the United States are going to start holding the parent responsible for their child for his acts, illegal acts, because they feel that the parent is still the legal guardian of that child and they neglect that child. And that's one of the reasons why that child did that crime. Yeah, a lot of the they're going to start holding parents' feet to the fire. If your child is out, if your child is under 18 and they find him out all kinds of night, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get a ticket. The parent's going to get a ticket. And that child may just wind up in jail, especially if that child has outstanding warrant or warrants on him or her. So it pays to be a good, I think it pays to be a good parent to your children, whether you're a man or a woman. I think it pays to be a damn good parent because, you know, you're saving society, I believe, you know, you're saving the child from death. You're saving it from him being locked up in jail. You're saving him from being retaliated against by other gangbangers. But in general, gangbanging or not, a gangster or not, good parenting, being a great dad is for all of us, even myself. Being a great dad, an on-hand dad, to be there for your child is something. I mean, it's something to help you, to be helping your child with his or her homework. But I understand that some parents, they can't help their child with their homework because the parents themselves don't have a high school diploma or don't have an elementary grade diploma. So they can't help that child. But they can always gear that child somewhere where that child can get help if they are of sound mind. You know, so be a good parent. Be a great dad. I've run off some things here for you. I don't have a guest on the show. So it says right here, let them play. And I always felt that once a child is a teenager, 15 or 16 or 17, it's time, in some instances, it's time for us, the parent, to let that child go. Not go as to meaning be out on their own, but to let that child be a little bit more independent, you know. And I think that's one of the greatest thing that you can do for a teenage child. So many teenagers think they're grown already anyway. All right, spark their imagination. Free play. Mention it above. The best way to develop the imagination, but sometimes you can provoke a little spark. Play with your kids. Creating forts, dressing up as ninjas, role-playing, imagining that you are explorers or characters in a movie or a book. The possibilities are endless. Well, they said play with your kid. All right. Okay. All right. Limit TV and video games. Well, I'm not saying that you have to be a mish or anything, but too much type of entertainment keeps doing more imaginative playing from reading, like reading, getting outside to exercise. I recommend an hour a day of media time, but you can find the amount that works for you and your family. And always try to, don't be afraid to say no to your child. Don't be afraid to say no. While I'm all for giving kids freedom of choice, for free play and lots of other freedoms, there should be limits. Parents who don't set boundaries are going to have children with behavior problems. That's no doubt about it. They will have problems when they grow up. And if that's not always to say yes, it's also not good for a child to say. It's also not good for a child to say no at first and then cave in when they throw a tantrum. Temper tantrum, or beg or plead. You know, I never do that. I mean, when my kids begged or pleaded through tantrums, I just doubled down on what I was telling them, or I just doubled down on saying no. Don't ever give in to tantrums, because you give in to tantrums, a child knows how to pull your button then. If you give in to tantrums or crying or wimping or threats, you might as well hang it up because the child's got you. The child knows your number. The child knows what button to push. So do not give in to tantrums and be a good role model. It is one thing to tell your child what he or she should do, but to say one thing and do another ruins the message. In fact, the real lesson your child will learn is what you do. Yeah, that's true. Your child is always watching you to learn appropriate behavior. Excessive drinking or smoking or drug use by parents, for example, will become ingrained in a child's head. Bad manners, inconsiderate behavior, sloppy habits, anger, and a negative attitude, laziness and greed, all of these behaviors will rub off on your child. Model that behavior you like your child to learn. That is so true. You want your child to be a great person? You be a great person. Don't smoke, don't drink around your child, because your child could grow up to form those bad habits. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to take a break right here. I will be right back. Thank you, everybody. I'll be right back. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. We're talking about how to be a great dad, how to be a great parent, period. You know, what I'm saying here is, and let them be themselves. Let your kids be themselves. We're just talking about, especially if they're 16, 17 years old, they're teenagers, let them be themselves. Let them be get comfortable around you. Kids like to be comfortable around their parents. They don't want to be all drawn all up and nervous and stuff. They want to be comfortable around you. Many parents try to mold their children into the person they want their child to be. Even if the child's personality, even if the child's personality doesn't fit that mold, instead instill the behaviors and values into your child, but give your child the freedom to be him or herself. Children, like all humans, have quirks and different personalities. Let those personalities flourish. Love your child for what he is or what she is, not who you want them to be. Teach them independence. From early age, teach your child to do things for themselves, gradually letting them to be more independent as they grow older. While it may seem a little difficult and time-consuming to teach your child to do something that you could do in terms of how much you have to do. For example, my kids know how to wash their own dishes, help clean the house, clean their rooms, fold and put away the laundry, shower, groom, dress themselves, and much more, saving a lot of time and work for me. Even my, you know, so let children be independent. You know, let them do things for themselves, because you have to let them be independent and let them do things for themselves, because they're going into adulthood and they're going to need these things, know how to do these things without you being around. So teach them, show them, but however, let them do things on their own. Let them be a little bit more independent within reason, okay? Independence within reason. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., George Wilder Jr. Show, talking about how to be a great father. You know, I'm thinking to myself, George, are you a great father? I'm trying. I'm still trying. Stand together with mom, okay? This is like, you know, bring mom in on it too. Also, you know, because mom has her input. Mom is also has to be a great parent. We got to talk about mom too. All right. It is no good to have one parent say one thing just to have another contradict that parent. Oh, I think I was in a situation like that one time. You know, you have to be on the same page, are going to feel that, they're going to know that, and they're going to sense that you and mom are not on the same page and not thinking the same when it comes to their upbringing. Instead, you and mom should be working together as a parenting team and should stand by each other's decision that is said. That's important that you talk it out, talk the decisions beforehand. Talk about the decision beforehand so you don't end up having to support a decision you strongly disagree with. I totally agree with that. Because, like I just said, the kids, if you and mom disagree about something, you haven't talked it over beforehand, and the kids get a sense of this, they are not going to feel too good about it. You know. So be a good parent. It's not hard. It is not hard. You just have to be loving. But you got some parents out here that do not know how to be good parents. They don't know the first thing about parenting, and they're having babies. And a lot of the things I've just said is just parents out here. You have some great loving parents out here with great kids. But then you have so many parents out here who are just neglectful. They're not around. They don't care. They don't love their children. They beat their kids. They abuse them. They talk down to them. They don't give their kids any encouragement, you know, or they don't push their kids to be the best they can be, you know. So it's out here, and it's prevalent, and you can see it in some of the, high crime neighborhoods within the cities within United States of America. It's out here. You can tell that. When you see kids walking with their pants below their ass, you know that that's some bad parenting somewhere. Maybe mom and dad are doing the same thing. You know, like I said, it's generational. All right, so this is George Wada Jr., the George Wada Jr. Show. My number is 347-857-1762. If you want to vibe on that, if you want to just leave a comment or sit back and listen, that's okay with me. You can always catch me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Google. My radio shows are in iTunes. Yeah, you can also find them on Google. Yeah, I'm all over the place. Okay. All right. We'll be right back. Okay. Here we go. All right, we're moving right along here. We're going to talk about some more about this violence, the school shootings, the violence around America. We're going to do a little bit more about this. And further on, and I want you to stay with me. I'm going to talk some more about the Illinois state shutdown, what I think and what I think is going on and everything. And like I said, I've talked about this so much, my voice is getting hoarse. You know, I've yelled so much and my voice is turning hoarse. But I'm okay. I'm going to do this. Congress, I think I've said this at the beginning of the show. Congress, at this moment, as I speak on this day, Saturday, October 3rd, they're trying to hammer out gun legislation. But somehow they're not doing actually nothing. They're just playing around or something, using gun control to play around. Some people agree, some people don't agree. They're like at a tug of war or something, you know. And while people are constantly dying, they're tugging a war at each other. Some people are for it, some are not. Some are giving excuses, some are just giving plain facts. But the fact is that this violence. School shootings, violence within America, and violence in general has to stop. Gun violence has to stop. It can stop. It can be shortened. The president said it. Obama said it. Okay? It's not just me saying that the guns are controlled. Guns need to be controlled. The president said it. Obviously, you're probably going to disagree with the president also. But I think the president is being sensible. I really do. I mean, this thing starts at the top. This stuff starts with Congress, and it also starts with the voter. You, the voter. Yeah. I mean, if your congressman, if your senator does not support common sense gun control, throw his or her ass out. That's just why I say we must vote. We want to take this country back. We want to change it. We have to change the makeup of Congress. Congress is controlled by the Republicans, and the Republicans are in the pockets of the NRA, the National Gun Lobby. And they don't want anything done with gun control, with guns, with background checks. They don't want anything. They don't want any of that. And they are powerful. They got lots and lots of money. They are very, very powerful. And the Republicans are scared as hell to go against these guys. But we know, we see this on the streets every day. We see this in our schools. We are not safe in America. It's just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Okay, let me see. All right, let me see what we got here. Okay, Trump. I don't know if I want to talk about Trump. Okay, we'll do that later. Let's see. Okay, outro. Right, that's something different. Okay. All right. Congress can't seem to come together. Congress has failed. They always failed. They always fail. They can't come together because the National Rifle Association, they're too powerful. They have too much money. They have too much influence. I mean, you go against, I mean, a senator or a representative in Congress go against the NRA, this powerful lobbyist organization, association, will have their jobs. They'll say, well, we're going to put somebody up to run against you because you voted against gun regulations, or you voted for gun regulation. We're going to have somebody run against. And a lot of these guys are scared to hell. So they vote against the will. And 90% of Americans say that they want universal background checks. 90% of Americans want guns kept out of the hands of those who are mentally ill. Because the Republicans are calling this their reasons for not voting for this or not conjuring up a bill for this is that it's not the guns that are killing people, it's the mental illness that is killing people. I would rule out both guns and mental illness. But a lot of people who go around shooting people are not mentally ill. It ain't some of them just snap. Some, you know, people snap and start spraying bullets. Oh, I didn't know he was crazy spraying bullets. I mean, everybody is not mentally ill when they go out and shoot someone. I don't think this guy Mercer, who was mentally ill. I'm just now hearing that he shot himself. In the beginning, it was reported that the police brought him down, shot him. But it's been reported he shot himself. So this guy intentionally did this. He wanted to be a martyr. He wanted to be remembered. He wanted some attention. They say he didn't have a girlfriend or whatever. And but this is, I don't know. They also say, I think they said some girl didn't want him or something, that he was kind of a weird guy. And this is another guy who slipped through the cracks. They failed to find out about him when the signs were there before this happened. And I also criticized the school for not being prepared for this, since they already had a shooting back in 2006. So this is the second or third shooting at this school. You would think they would prepare themselves for something like this, but no, they did not. 10 people were killed and 7 people were injured. I reported yesterday that there were 10 people killed and there were 7 people injured, something to that effect. But anyway, the media, they keep changing the numbers on this thing, but we do know that this happened and we have to try to prevent it. Sandy Hook and all of this stuff. And like I said yesterday on the show, Jeb Bush was on national television, cable television, I'm assuming. But there is a video of this talking about the killing, the school shootings recently, and saying that stuff happens. That's his quote. But stuff happens. Stuff happens. Now, every parent who had a child killed or shot or wounded in any school throughout the United States should be in his ass. That shows you how much this guy cares about the United States. Huckabee says that Obama, when Obama was on television telling people how sad he was to be up there, to be talking about another shooting, Huckabee, presidential candidate, Jeb Bush is also a presidential candidate on the Republican side, he called Obama's speech ignorant, inflammatory. Yeah, I mean, it was not ignorant and inflammatory. The person that is ignorant and inflammatory is Huckabee. What a hell of a name, huh? Huckabee. And he's calling Obama ignorant. Can you believe that? This guy, I don't know. The Republicans, they don't want to do anything about trying to curb gun violence within the United States. They don't want to do nothing. And they're coming up with all kind of stupid reasons, stupid sayings to why they don't want to do anything. But I, like I said before, I bet if it was Jeb Bush's daughter who was shot in that school, I bet he'd be up on Capitol Hill hollering for gun control. He's in the pockets of the lobbyists. He can't say this. This is crazy. This is why I say vote, 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 vote. And I'm pretty sure that every parent who had their children killed in one of these school shoot, one of the school massacres, I should say, massacres, I'm pretty sure that they are not going to vote for a Republican. And if the Republican is running in their state, they're going to vote them out. If they already have a Republican in office, they're going to vote them out. Congress in 2016 should be all Democratic. Throw these bums out. They don't want to do anything, anything whatsoever to curb gun violence in America. I mean, the statistic says it all. We have more shootings, more killings than it was in 9/11. More people die in the United States now than they probably did in recent wars. And yet they can't stop this. They don't want to stop this. But if it was their child, their niece, their nephew, they would be right on top of it saying, I want gun control. But, you know, the lobbyist is in their ass and said, you better not. They're bought off. They're puppets. They're not representing you and me. They're representing the gun lobbies. However, the gun lobbies did not vote their asses in office. You and I did. This is why I say, and I'm going to keep saying, we got to get their asses out in through 2016. Because they're going to, after this Oregon shooting, there's going to be more killings. There's going to be more school massacres. There's going to be more church massacres. There's going to be more subway and mall massacres. These guys are not going to quit. They're still out there. I'm thinking right now that it's built waiting for the best time to go to a nearby school and shoot it up. It's not over. I know it's not over. President Obama knows it's not over. You know it's not over. You don't know where the next attack is going to come from. We don't know who's going to be the next bombing victim from ingrown terrorists within the United States, terrorists on this soil, the United States. And I'll equate that with bad parenting, because basically these guys that are shooting up these schools are just young people, teenagers, young adults. Because this guy Mercer, he was a mommy's boy, a mama's boy. Mama knew all about all them guns. You know, mama bought all them guns for her son, who went out here and killed 10 people, injured 7, and then shot himself. And we got Congress, who doesn't want a damn thing about it. And like I said, in the church massacres not too long ago, these guys are just blaming the victims. They're blaming the people who are injured. They're blaming the people who are dead, because you know why they're blaming them? They said, well, you should have been armed. You should have had a gun, because these guys want you to carry a gun. But more guns out on the street is not going to help. I'm not the only one saying that. The president said that, and it's true. But you got a lot of people out here who are saying, put more guns out there. Put more. What the hell is that? That's crazy. You got too many guns out here already. Put more guns out here on the street. It'll be Dodge City. Everybody will be shooting everybody. And everybody who's killing people will not be mentally ill. They're going to be of strong and stable mind. They just want to shoot. So I am pissed off at Congress because nothing is going to get done about gun control. You can forget it. There's a lot of people hollering and screaming and yelling at the lawmakers in Washington, but nothing is going to get done. You can scream if you want. What you have to do, you have to vote. Throw their asses out. You've got to vote. That's the only thing that's going to happen. That's the only way you're going to move this. That's the only way you're going to change this. These damn lawmakers, Republicans, they don't give a damn about your dead daughter. They don't give a damn about your dead son. They don't give a damn if you get shot tomorrow in your head. They're not going to change the laws. They are too afraid and entrenched in NRA, the National Rifle Association, which is a powerful, powerful lobby on Capitol Hill. They make and break politicians. And you would think we the people, you would think we the people would be the one that they would be so afraid of because we're the ones with the votes, not the NRA. But they're puppets, they're bought off, they're bought and paid for. You know, this is why I don't listen to politicians anymore. I mean, when they come on television, I just turn my damn TV off. You know, I don't listen to them. I don't pay my mind because they lie. They slime, and most of them are lying. But the bad ones, the bad politicians, you know, overshadow the good ones. We know there's some good ones there, but they're too far and in between. They are. So, you know, I stopped listening to politicians a long time ago. I don't do it. The time I listen to a politician, something's got me transfixed, or I can't find another place to get to right quick, or I can't turn the TV off fast enough. But I don't listen to them guys anymore. You know, I use my own noggin. And if you're anything, you would stop listening to them, especially the guys that you know are corrupt and no good. I've said this before, think for yourself. Not let some politician tell you this and tell you that and you're supposed to take it. No, you think for yourself. You figure out what he's saying is true. And then you make some kind of decision on it for yourself. Don't let other people tell you how to think, no matter who they are. Think for yourself, because there are so many people out there who will try to tell you how to think. Fox News, for instance, cable Fox News, they try to tell people how to think. And you know what? They're successful at it because a lot of people listen and you know, Republican talking points from Fox News. And we all know that Fox is not a credible news station. A lot of those people who work on Fox, they're not real journalists. They're pretending to be journalists. Sean Hannity is no journalist. Bill O'Reilly is no journalist. Okay? A lot of those people... Some of them guys on the morning shows, they're no journalists. They're just up there running their mouth saying stupid stuff. And a lot of people, a lot of viewers are eating it all up, you know. And no matter how much you tell people not to watch Fox, the more they're going to what? Watch Fox. Even though they know Fox is not credible. And I've said this a million times too. Fox, a lot of people tune in to Fox News, even though they know Fox News is going to lie to them. They tune in to hear lies. If Fox News is not lying, they're probably going to turn it off. The majority of the people who watch Fox are seniors, people over 60. You know. People over 60, people on Social Security, people who are getting pensions. You know, I mean, that's crazy. But you know what? In this election cycle, we're going to need all people. Seniors, we're going to totally need young people. We're going to totally need young people to get up there and vote. And I love Bernie Sanders because Bernie Sanders, he's visiting colleges, he's visiting universities. He's getting young people revved up for 2016, and that's a great thing. You don't see the Republicans going around to universities because most of the college students there, they don't want the Republicans. We don't want you at our college. We don't want you at our universities. because they know the Republicans are cutting loans for them, you know, student loans, making them hard to get. And they also know the Republicans, most of them are crazy, Looney Tunes to the bone. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., George Wilder Jr. Show. You're listening to the Wilder Network, and we are on a rant. All right, we're going to take a break right here. I'll be right back. Thank you. Stay with me, everybody. All right, we're back. We are back. And it looks like I'm ranting again, but that's fine. That's fine. Okay, you know what's coming. I'm going to be talking about the Illinois shutdown in this state. You know what's coming. I've been ranting about this every day. I'm going to keep talking about this until we get a budget in the state of Illinois. I'm going to keep talking about it because Rauner is going around firing people left and right. He's throwing people out of their jobs. He's giving some sort of weak-ass excuse for doing it. And I tweeted Mike Madigan, the Speaker of the House in Illinois. I tweeted, and I also tweeted John Cullerton. Actually, Mike Madigan is the Speaker of the House. Cullerton is the leader of the Illinois Senate, okay, if I can get that correct. So I tweeted both of them. Will they get my tweet? I don't know. But I tweeted them, and I said, why are you guys letting Bruce Rauner, Governor Bruce Rauner of Illinois, ruin this state? Because that's what he wants. I want to know, give me an explanation, because these are two powerful men. They have just as much power as Rauner. You know, these are equal bodies, three equal bodies of Illinois, which has the same amount of power. Why are you letting him do this to the people of this state? The lights are going to be out. People aren't going to get paid. I mean, it's coming up again. I'm talking about 60,000 state workers. They are as hell again. Again, this is the second, third time they've been scared as hell not receiving money for working, not receiving their check. And nobody seems to be doing anything. There's no budget. I've said this. I'm getting headaches because of this. Nobody seems to be moving. They're not talking. They're not coming together. There is no budget. So everybody say, damn it. You know, the hell with it. You know, nobody's talking. What is this? These guys are not doing their jobs. My understanding is that they make $67,000 a year. The representatives and the senators, if I'm correct, they make $67,000 a year. I heard the guy say it on television, $67,000 a year, and it's a part-time job. And basically, they're just there to vote, and they're not voting together. One guy said Bruce Rauner needs to call a special session, of the legislature, and get everybody there so they can vote on a, can talk about it and vote on a budget. There's been four or five budgets on his desk, and he has not signed them, or he just vetoed them or something, and it didn't work. We could have had a budget, but the guy wants bus unions. Now he's laying off people. Now he's saying it's an emergency. He's got to lay people off, blah, 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 because there's no budget. There's no budget because he refuses to sign one. He's saying that there's no budget because of the legislature. He's the governor. He's the blame. It's all his fault. But he's going to try to throw the blame. But you know what? The citizens of Illinois, they know who the blame is. They know who's the culprit it is. This state has never been like this in the history of its existence. This has never happened. This is the only time this has happened is when that guy named Bruce Rauner ran for governor, bought the governor's office. People didn't vote, or people voted the wrong way until he became governor of the state. His first day in office, he started cutting. He started hurting people. The man doesn't care. And now I'm hearing that one is, well, I've been hearing this for a long time, that the people who work for him are crooks, period. You know, they are crooks, and they may, he may be making them crooks. Who knows? Because they're working for him. He knows what they're doing. You know, he knows what they're doing. He'll tell them to go around and be nasty, be snarky, you know, because that's the way he is. Darth Vader, too, you know. I mean, this guy is just something else. But you know what? He will not be in office come election time for him. He is out of there. He better be glad as hell that there's no recall on the books. And there is no recall. Recall means that we can throw his ass. It doesn't make sense for you to keep somebody around who clearly is not doing the job of the state. He is not paying his bills. You know, but somehow he gets to keep his job because he's going around laying off people, telling lies, and making excuses for getting rid of people and putting his people in their place. Because he said he was going to make this a Republican state. And that's what he's trying to do by replacing Democrats with Republicans. That is not doing his job. Replacing Republicans with Democrats is not doing his job. That is not doing his job. Then it's one lady, I will not use her name on my show. It's one lady in his employment. She's using private emails instead of state emails. Now, from my understanding, there's something wrong with that. Okay? So we'll just have to see where that goes. But, you know, I've been hearing so much about Bruce Rauner taking from the poor and giving to the rich, taking from the poor and giving it to his employees. That really happened. And it's still happening. It's still happening. You know, he's making his employees rich off the backs of the poor, off the backs of the vulnerable, off the backs of the disabled, the seniors. The needy. The man doesn't give a damn. And this is why I tweeted to Madigan and I tweeted to Cullerton, what the hell are you two fools doing letting this guy get away with ruining the state? Can't you do anything? But that's the way it's been with Democrats. Spineless, weak, cave in. It's obvious with these guys. You know, why let this guy do this? Can't you fight him back? Can't you? That's the point here. Rauner wants a fight. He wants a fight, and they are not giving it to him. That's why he's winning. The Democrats are laying down and letting Rauner beat them to a pulp because they letting him have his way with this state. But he can have his way with this state, but he's still not doing his job. He's still not doing his job of having a budget, presenting a budget, signing a budget so the state can get out of the hole that it's in. He wants it to stay in the hole because he wants to bust unions. The guy's not doing his job. He can sign every executive order he can, but his job is have a budget for this state, and it is not happening. Like I've said before, 3 or 4 months ago on this show, they're going to be taking this guy out in handcuffs. I just believe that he is doing something illegal, but he has not been caught yet. But one of the things I know about Bruce Rauner, he is quickly to defend himself on anything that you might accuse him of. Wow, he's quickly to defend himself. I say he's lying. He's quickly to lie, okay? But I do know, I have a feeling that they're going to be taking this guy out in handcuffs before his term is up. And I want you guys out there to remember, you heard it first on the George Wilder Jr. Show, okay? Because it's just something illegal in this. It's got to be. Anytime you don't want a budget, you're not talking, you don't compromise, you don't go out here and you talk to the people, you don't get a feel for what the people need or what the people want or what they're about, you just don't give a damn. The guy is corrupt as hell, and I believe he's going to be thrown out of the office. He should be in jail, handcuffed, locked up. He's destroying the state. That's a rant. That's a rant. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., George Wilder Jr.'s show. I'm going to do a clip on about guns. I was just talking about guns, and violence is so prevalent in this city, in this town. And it's just something I'm going to be talking about, probably guns, gun control, Bruce Rauner, things of that nature and of that sort. So let's see if we can't come up with a All right, let's try this one, clip number 5.
It's the second weekend in July, and the trauma unit at Advocate Christ Medical Center on the outskirts of Chicago is bracing itself for the worst.
Christ, identify.
In Chicago, trauma tends to get busier in the summer months. We've had a stretch of some warm weather.
In what proved to be bloody days in the city, 82 people were shot in Chicago on the July 4th weekend, 16 of them fatally.
Possibly our busiest weekend ever.
And more than 24 of those victims were brought here to Advocate Christ, which served the city's south side.
A lot of gunshot wounds and a decent number of fatalities as well.
A week later, the pace on a Friday night is slower, but soon after 11 p.m., a call comes in. Ambulances with 2 gunshot victims are on their way from the city's Roseland neighborhood. The first of the victims arrives, a male with a bullet wound through his shoulder.
Gentleman came in with a gunshot wound, but it was just to the right shoulder, and there's no significant injury.
The medical team treats the wound, but soon rushes to prepare for the second victim, who did not fare as well.
George, show me here and there.
He's got a gunshot wound to the right chest.
I'm going to get another IV.
Most of the victims are younger patients. They're usually male, who are of lower socioeconomic status.
You got an 18 gauge in your...
And it represents the neighborhoods where the violence is taking place.
Your chest tube on the right.
This 26-year-old man has internal bleeding that is making it hard to breathe.
He got shot in the chest.
What's your name? Tell me your name.
And he had diminished breath sounds on the right side of his chest.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
You know, 90% of homicide victims are men.
No.
95% of perpetrators are men, and that is even more skewed in Chicago. And it vastly discriminates against people of color, particularly African Americans and Latinos.
It's caused a contusion of the lung, which is a bruising of the lung. There's also some blood in the chest.
So move your eyelids.
A surgeon prepares to place a tube in the man's chest to drain the blood.
It is a sort of a basic resuscitation maneuver in terms of patients who have penetrating chest trauma. Place the tube in the chest cavity to drain the blood or to drain the air that's collected around the lung. One of the few times that a fairly simple bedside procedure can actually save a patient's life.
These life-saving maneuvers happen nightly in emergency rooms across the country as gun violence haunts America's cities.
In the last 30 years, about 1 million people have died from guns, and that's homicides, suicides, domestic violence, and accidents.
More than 30,000 people die from guns every year in the United States. Chicago is plagued by a gun homicide rate much higher than New York or Los Angeles, which have shown sizable decreases in gun deaths. Still, homicides from guns are half what they were here more than a decade ago.
The decrease in homicides in the United States has been, in many areas, a tremendous public health victory. So Los Angeles, or let's say New York City, in the early 90s, 2,000 homicides per year.
Last year, homicides in New York were down to 355.
And while there has been a decrease in Chicago, it has not at all been as dramatic. In some ways, it's getting better, but I think that there are neighborhoods and communities and generations of people that are not getting the kind of positive supports that are necessary to really turn the tide.
New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago basically have about the same murder rate for murder by other than gunshot. So that's fascinating if you think about it, because everybody wants to know what's different about Chicago. First thing I said when I got here, too many guns, the proliferation of firearms.
In the past, most of our penetrating trauma was coming from the south side of the city of Chicago and some of the more violent neighborhoods, but now we're actually seeing quite a few coming in from the suburbs.
Though gun deaths are lower in the city so far this year, as they are nationwide, police figures show shootings are up. Chief of Trauma Surgery, Dr. James Daugherty, says he's noticing a disturbing trend.
We're seeing more patients who have multiple gunshot wounds, and I think what we're seeing is that the severity of the injuries that we're seeing are much worse. Are they all gang-related? The answer to that is no. Not all of the cases are gang-related. Many of the patients we treat, in fact, the majority, are innocent victims. They just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
One of those innocent victims got the attention of the city in mid-July. 11-year-old Shamaya Adams was at a sleepover at a friend's house when a stray bullet came through the window. It struck her in the head, and she died the following morning.
Say amen, everybody.
Amen. A day later, Shamaya's family joined other supporters and activists for a vigil in her West Side neighborhood.
Everybody just say with me, God bless.
God bless.
Shamaya's family.
Shamaya's family.
God bless.
God bless.
Shamaya's family.
Shamaya's family.
God bless.
God bless.
Shamaya's family.
Shamaya's family.
Bow your heads, everybody.
They mourn and call for justice and an end to senseless acts like her killing.
I'm tired of the word. I want to see action. I want to see the guns being put down.
An 18-year-old who ended up shooting at some rival gang members who were 14 and missed them and hit an 11-year-old in a residence and killed her. And the initial confrontation was between two groups of 14-year-olds who had a fist fight. So you take a fist fight and you introduce a firearm into it, and now you've got a murder.
Also, if you know something, or know someone that knows something, please call. Please call.
Local groups collected more than $8,000 as a reward to find the person who killed Shamaya.
I'm not pointing the finger at nobody.
It's all right.
Come on.
Take your time.
It's real, Doc. It's real.
But I tell you one thing. Take a message from me. This ain't over with.
Sometimes people are afraid to speak up. When we held a youth summit, people spoke about the code of silence and that people have to speak up, but then people also spoke about being afraid to speak up, or if they do, they want to make sure that it remains anonymous.
You brought us together for a reason, to be a blessing to this family, and that Shemaiah's 11 years would not be lived in vain.
In Shamaya Adams' neighborhood, people were willing to talk about what they saw, and it led to an arrest.
Earlier this morning, charges were filed against an offender for the senseless murder of 11-year-old Shamaya Adams that took place last Friday evening.
You know, sometimes you have that tipping point, and she might be it. It seems like.
Yeah, we need common sense. There is no doubt about it. I think my mic is a little bit too high, but that's okay. We need common sense gun controls. We need universal background checks. We need gun regulations. I am not against guns. I own a couple of them. So, but I am against people who use them senselessly, illegally, and just to go out, just start spraying bullets everywhere. You know, because a lot of these people, especially in these school shootings, they do this knowing that they're not going to live through it. They either, after they do the job or do the massacre, they take their own lives, or they shoot at the police and have the police take their lives for them, and then they want to become martyrs, attention in death. You know, that's why there are so many of the media outlets in Oregon. You know, you have to. His name is Mercer. That's his last name. Okay, I don't need to say his entire name, but Mercer. And he's a young guy. I think he's about 20 years old. I think I talked about this yesterday. But, you know, this is just crazy. And Congress is wrangling. And these guys are not going to get the job done. As long as we have this Republican Congress, this do-nothing Congress, this obstructionist-ass Congress, it's not going to happen. Gun control is not going to happen. We are not talking about taking away your guns. You can keep them if you got them legally. What we're saying is put some sort of control on them to try to keep out of the wrong hands. Background checks. What is so hard about background checks? I don't understand it. There's so many people out there that are against it. Like I just said, if your child was shot, I bet you. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTT.